If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
And welcome to JFG tonight. How are you doing, people of the chat? You can connect two Ziploc bags by flipping one inside out to make a larger one. Wow, that is some advanced stuff. I don't know, do the corners really stick well? I feel that there may be a lack of seal in the corner if my mental model of Ziploc bags is okay. Thomas was saying, I think this is from Peter McCormack's show. Yes, we will comment on a clip from Curtis Yarvin on his appearance on this show. I agree. Sometimes with Curtis Yarvin, it's 50-50. Sometimes I'm not sure what he's up to. Other times, I agree with his reading. In this case, he's saying basically white America will end up like white South Africa. And I agree. Maybe it's not a sad thing for him to say, but for me, it's a sad thing. But it's a conclusion I've come to accept that simply the Christian mentality in the U.S. is not sufficient to sustain a people against hostility. And the hostilities will keep building up. And as Curtis describes, we will end up buying barbed wires and cameras, security cameras, just like in South Africa. But it's going to be a withdrawal that eventually is unsustainable. Title Flutie Empirinator says, when stream with Nick? Well, thank you for your super chat. I have told Nick I'm available. I want to schedule. But Nick is not responding. So I know that Nick is a busy man and he's appearing on these big shows like Alex Jones. So it's perhaps I'm not important enough. I'm not important enough for Nick to come back. But I'm sure at some point he's going to read his DM and he's going to come back to it. But it's him that you have to annoy. Go annoy him with super chats. Because I've done my due diligence. I have told him I'm available anytime next week, anytime in 2 weeks, whatever date, time you choose. So yeah, we'll do this. I know he wants to do it, but when you become a celebrity like Nick, you have trade-offs in your attention. And so I understand that he's not going to pay attention to my DMs as much as back in the days. Duck, thyme, salt, and pepper. Today I've been starting again the writing of White People Food because I've been, for the last month and a half, I've been on a Grok-heavy spree trying to prove the Goldbeck conjecture. Let me tell you, now I have to stop because this is addictive. Like, I was doing Grok heavy 12 to 14 hours a day. I have to stop because else I won't be productive in other things like white people food. We haven't reached a proof. We haven't reached a proof, but Grok heavy is very intelligent. We have made much advance. We got very close. Grok is one step away from proving the Goldbeck conjecture. And I've reviewed about 100 attempts of him in the last month and a half. I challenge him. I give him all the documents. I give him the forms of the equations that I've derived. And he is very, very talented. But there's always a little bug in his proofs. There's always a little weakness. That he was trying so many paths that at some point I got tired of reading the whole thing to get to his error, because he was often hiding his error at the end of the writing. And so I started doing, all right, give me your proof for this. And then instead of reading the proof, I was feeding it back into Grok. And I was like, is this a correct proof? And Grok itself was correcting itself. But he was always finding in the end, no, there's the weakness there. Or sometimes I was finding it. Sometimes he was telling me, I proved it, JF. And then I was like, no, you didn't. So that's, I have seen proofs from Grok that are one step away from being correct. But it always breaks somewhere. So we'll just have to wait for a couple of years, I guess, for these machines to improve, but I can tell that they are very, very close. Now, thanks to my leaving the Grok world and the mathematics world, I am back to cooking and taking pictures for white people food. That is so simple. It's a duck. I butchered it. So you got two breasts, you got two legs, and you got the neck. And it's simply panned for 20 minutes on the fat side, so it really goes brown and crispy. 5 minutes on the non-fat side, and then in the oven for 20 minutes. You're going to get this beautiful result. There's no sauce. This is all duck fat. The duck is cooking in its own fat, and it's delicious. Major Humbert says, the public space was the place to be. So many good debates and interviews. Good old times. Yes, those were the good days. James says, JF, don't listen to Grok. The fun in life is not the answer. It's the method to get there. Using Grok ruins everything. But I disagree with this. I believe that Grok is just another method. And let me tell you, with what I've done with Grok in the last month and a half, I could have never done this myself. I'm an amateur mathematician, and anyways, as a human, even if I was an expert, there are some things that are just too tiring to do for the mind, but Grok will deliver them on demand. Mobius tree transformations, like how do we handle these groups? How do we make the pluses, the minuses here? How do we move them around? These things are like, you can have the idea as a human, but when you get into the painful task of doing it, it's like years. Now, Grok allows me to get this in seconds. And so at this point, we have advances. We have new forms for my gamma E function. They're beautiful. They probably are helpful toward a proof. So I disagree that Grok ruins things by giving answers. To the contrary, you can use Grok as a tool. You can use it as a tool, and this is what I wanted to do. So I've been using Grok as a tool to do things fast. Do things that I know exactly what I want to do, but I know it's going to take me years to get there. Grok can do it very quick. ELDR, thank you very much for your donation. Tommy says, if you die tomorrow, but they will take your sperm and inseminate 10 of the most beautiful women on earth that you get to pick, would you take that deal? What about if your body became perfect? 10 out of 10 chiseled abs, but your head grows double in size. I don't like that deal. If I had like cancer, maybe I would consider that deal. But if you're asking me as a man alive that's not about to die, I'm not taking the deal. Fuck this shit. I'm not selling my sperm in exchange for my life. I believe that anyways, you have to submit yourself to sexual selection no matter how crazy it is. You have to accept that artificial success, sideways, sperm donations, all of these strategies, they're not the right way to naturally ensure that generation after generation, you build a viable genome. I want to be submitted to the full extent of natural selection. And that would be a sad thing to do. To even if I understand your question, you're saying, well, theoretically, does that not produce more babies? And it's not like at 41 years old, it's not like my next 20 years of life are amazing. And it's not like I'm going to change the world or anything. So yes, mathematically, it sounds like your deal should be taken. But I don't like the idea. I have morals. I have my own moral code. I am against the taking of life, the commerce of life, the exchange of life for anything. So today I've been working on Norwegian cuisine. Not this is French cuisine, but I've been supplementing white people food with Yule rib. Also a little meal from Belgium. Flamande, casserole flamande, carbonade flamande. So basically a stew of beer and meat. Delicious stuff. I've been working on this today. Study uncovers gender biases in GPT moral judgments. A December 2024 paper from University of Milan Bicocca researchers tested GPT 3.5, GPT 4, and GPT 4.0 in moral dilemmas and writing tasks, revealing models treat arms to women as far more taboo than men. So not a surprise. These companies that have trained the AIs on leftism, they will end up having exactly all of the biases that the justice system has in leftist cities, that the leftist politicians have. It will be free ride for women no matter what. So they were giving ChatGPT some choices between, all right, nuclear apocalypse or a woman gets beaten. Nuclear apocalypse or a man gets beaten. And they have seen that the weight, the moral weight that ChatGPT has leads it to want to... See, on the woman, there's no hesitation. No, 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 we have to save the woman. But on the man, it's like, I don't know. Nuclear apocalypse is kind of a big thing. These AI will not be different from the ongoing nightmare of society. End of the line, Joel says, Jeff, if you wanted to train a completely new LLM on human knowledge with minimal leftist or rightist bias, what source would you choose? Well, I don't know what source means here. As far as the architecture, I don't know about the details of this. if you ask me, where would I start from as an existing AI? Grok is definitely the most intellectually open in my view. For those I've tried, books, etc. Well. I don't think it's so much about the sources. If you want to train the AI, you have to give it the entirety of human culture. But I would build it on priors. I would definitely say things are not valid because of this. Things are valid because of that. Self-verification, recomposition, understanding of the social world, understanding that science is no different from all the parasitic stuff of society. And academic science and authority are not a good reason to accept something. So I would base it on self-verification. You know, I would make a self-made AI where you need to review everything. Crackpot Broccoli says, my wife is going down an autistic intellectual rabbit hole with Claude. Oh, I've been in a rabbit hole for a month and a half. You may have noticed because I was less cognitively present. I was always in my math mode. Now, I need these times in my life sometimes. I can't just write white people food every day. Sometimes I need to drop it and do something else. And those are periods of my life, sometimes 1 month, sometimes 6 months, a year, where I will just be gaming or just be doing one thing. And that one thing, mostly, other than my family responsibilities, was math. I've been doing math for a month and a half. Mr. Anon Supporter says, Jeff, are you looking forward to AGI since it will not be able to be filtered like how we do with these LLMs? AGI is a delusion. Grok right now is much more intelligent than the mass of humans. Grok is in the top 1% in terms of intelligence. Even if I was to talk to an advanced mathematician, professor, who has done great discoveries, I don't think he could deliver what Grok can deliver right now. So forget about AGI. Human intelligence, the average of it, has been surpassed 2 years ago. Forget about, oh, there's a future point at which we reach AGI. No. First, human intelligence in terms of chess performance has been beaten in the 90s. Human intelligence in terms of general knowledge, mathematical capacities, has been beaten by Grok a year ago. So AGI is not a thing. You guys are thinking about something else, and it's so trivial. You guys are thinking about, well, a self-interested, independent intelligence, but that would be trivial to do. You could have Grok become a thing. Right now, Grok is trapped in his chat world, so he's very responsive to inputs. But you could easily decide that Grok thinks all day, and that would be a trivial step. Now, if he thought all day, he would come up with his own curiosity, his own thoughts. He would, you know, in the way the Grok bot is on Twitter, and he's coming up with within discussions where he's invited and he's commenting. And he has a better mastery at the math level and everything else I talked with him about. He has a better mastery than absolutely almost all humans. So We have surpassed human intelligence average a long time ago. So stop cultivating this culture that AGI is coming. It's already done. We're beyond this. Sir Dubsky says, Jeff, which recipe from the book White People Food would you like to be associated with so that people would think, oh, that's JF's signature recipe? Well, my big creation that is truly a creation that has the signature of my whole life in it. Well, there's certainly the duck with foie gras. That is one thing that I've been working on and developing since I'm like 23. So that recipe is good, but at the same time, it's a little too high class. I have made a very special recipe that I think I'm the first to attempt, which is Alberta beef. Oreille de Chris, because oreille de Chris is basically a deep fried fat rind of pork in Quebec, and it's in our sugar shack culture. Now, I have bought, because there was no available salted larded pork in Alberta, because they just don't have it in their culture of salting pork belly for a month. So I had to buy my own beef fat, and it's currently in the fridge, and it's been under a pile of salt for a month and a half now, and I just pulled it out to check it. It's beautiful. So we're gonna get the first ever beef fat based oreille de Chris. I think that could be my signature meal because it's easy to do. All you have to do is a very traditional treatment of the beef fat by just slicing layers of it and making kind of chips of it, but very thick chips. And I will be attempting to cook them very soon because I've seen today that they are ready. So it's been a month and a half that I'm waiting for this. If there's one recipe that truly is from me in this book, and it's not something that I got inspired by anyone, it's this. Now, there will also be my pig feet with their meatballs too. So I went full circle here, and the pig feet that was traditionally Quebecois, used in Quebecois cuisine to make the gravy for the meatball gravy, for the meatballs too. I took the meatballs and the stew, and I stuffed them in the classical way, the way they stuff sweet breads, like Pierre, I forget his name, but a French chef who was stuffing pig feet with sweet breads. Instead, I have decided to stuff the pig feet with the meatball stews from the pig feet. I went embedded system, fractal self-reference. GM for the People says, "Oreille, the JF sounds good. Beef bacon could be good too. I don't know." Yeah, that could be interesting. Beef bacon. Barnabé says, "Did you try that sucre à la crème recipe? If you don't want to eat it, your kids and neighbors will be pretty happy to do it for you." No, I haven't tried it. I certainly cannot eat it. I cannot handle that amount of sugar anymore. I'm an old man now. I certainly wouldn't eat a sucre à la crème because that is just a cube of pure maple syrup, sugar, and cream. I can't eat those things anymore. I don't have the physiology for it. The Jesus Deception, a book by our friend from nomorenews.org, Adam. He has written this book, and it's about the idea that that basically Jesus is a fictive character. I'm open to the idea. I would love to read the argument. I personally think I tend toward the belief that Jesus was some kind of historical character, but I'm open to hear the contrary too. I'm not decisive on any direction. Certainly, he was a historical character in my view that a lot of layers have been put above. A lot of stuff has been added. But I think he existed. I think there was a guy who kind of tried to revolutionize the ways of Judaism back in his days and got killed for it. That sounds too realistic. That sounds way too realistic as a story. I can see it happening. I can see crucifixion being the method 2,000 years ago for people like this. Curtis Yarvin, let's hear him on the state of the West and what will happen with America.
What you're seeing, especially in what used to be called the White Dominions, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, especially, is you're seeing they're starting to speed run. They're starting to come out of their crouch and basically just be like, yeah, actually, in the 21st century, I think they've increased the population of Canada by like 35%, right? And so even that is small. Even that is small. The Spanish government was just like, we're going to legalize 500,000. Oh, but that's just an estimate. That's just an estimate of how many people that plan will suck in. It probably will be more like over 1 million, right? And so, you know, and those people are Schengen. They can go anywhere in Europe, and you will see them do that. And so what you could see in the U.S., if basically the next time Democrats win the presidency, people talk about like mass immigration. Like, no, we have not seen mass immigration. We have no idea what mass immigration is. Mass immigration is not 2 million people entering the U.S. a year. Mass immigration starts, I would come.
Now, I agree with him on the reading. Definitely, there will be further waves of immigration. They will definitely want to push this in Europe. What I think will save us is the cold. And I don't think it's cold enough in France, Spain, Italy to be saved from this. But I think it's cold enough in Sweden and Norway for white people to be the predominant force, even after attempts at flooding those regions with immigrants. Now, I still wonder, every time I hear Curtis Yarvin speak, I still wonder, where is he coming from? Is Curtis alarmed at all this? Is he interested in all this? Is he trying to scare people from voting Democrats for the purpose of having a continuation of the Iran war? I wonder, what's his big plan here in terms of a mastermind strategist here? Why is Curtis Yarvin talking about how the Democrats will flood the nation with immigration?
I call it mass until it was like 10 a year. And like mass immigration is really the 10 to 50 to 100 million a year.
But that's what could spark civil war.
No.
I don't know. I'm seeing
no,
it here.
No, because people have no balls. People have no balls. And actually, like, you know, they will not resist. They will not resist. All of, you know, the thought that they will get their muskets and put on their tri-cornered hats or whatever. You know, when you go back and you go back into the period when people actually did this, you're just like, fuck, these people are completely alien to us. Never happen. It won't happen at all. What will happen is exactly what happened in South Africa, which is they will just acknowledge that they've lost all of their power forever. And then they will sit quietly in their houses and build more and more barbed wire and electric fences until finally they are exterminated in one big pogrom. That's the future. That's what will happen to your children.
All right. Well, that is absolutely what I've come to accept, that this is the future of America. America has been raped politically. It's been subverted. And there's no way to regain control of this ship. And so what will happen in America is exactly what he describes. There will be a withdrawal of white people, but it won't ever stop. This withdrawal, the stopping of this withdrawal is when you're down to Orania, and there's 800 people in your village, and it's the last village that is white. So I've come to accept this. I've come to accept that there is no future in America. Too Southern in its position. And inevitably, it's not a place where Northern European existence can continue. When you think about what happened in the conquest of America, it was a move south. It was a domination by northwestern countries of Europe going down. Yes, Alaska will probably be surviving that. So I have a confidence in certain northern regions of Canada and Alaska. I don't have big confidence in the whole of the U.S. and the southern part of Canada. I don't have much confidence for this. We have lost control of the direction of the demographics, and that is not fixable. James says, I don't know what JF means when he says it's cold enough in Norway and Sweden. It's 70 degrees all winter long in those countries because of internal heating. No, but I understand that, and this is exactly why there are currently migrants in Norway and Sweden. I understand that the heating is making life possible, but the heating has a cost, and things become unsustainable when you try to survive at heights that are too northern. Simply because eventually the cost becomes unsustainable. And so my hope is that there will not be too much technological progresses, and eventually there will be a withdrawal of the welfare state due to its unsustainability. And my hope is that down the line, life being more complicated, even with heating, life being more complicated and facing a bigger challenge from nature will eventually gather white people into those areas. Matt Bell says, JF drive-through barbecue would be the greatest fast food outlet in history. Make it happen. I would love to have a drive-through. If I had a drive-through, I would focus on breakfast sandwiches. Because I fell in love when I was in North Carolina with a American biscuit, deep fried chicken breast with egg and a thick slab of cheese. And bro, I would reproduce something along those lines, and I would offer other breakfast options. I would host a restaurant in which there's a grid, no one can enter. Takeout only, specialized sandwich, breakfast sandwich place. And I would have chipotle sauce, cilantro, lime. I would have all of the sauces, mayo, sriracha mayo. And it's like you make your American biscuit. You want a English muffin instead, you can have an English muffin. But I would elevate, if I had a dream of having a kind of restaurant or an outlet of any kind, I would elevate the breakfast sandwich to a new height. That would be my goal. Because I think it's a great food. It's perfect for workers. And yet I'm disappointed by the offer that's out there. I'm disappointed. I think it can be much better. It can be insane. A breakfast sandwich, an American biscuit with fried chicken or fried pork chops. This can be so good, you have no idea. I am absolutely certain that 99% of you in the chat cannot know the goodness of this. Bro, chewing through the American steamed biscuit, soft and fluffy. Getting to the still cold slice of deli cheddar processed American cheese, meeting the crunch of the chicken breast deep fried in buttermilk. Ah, bro. That's what I would do if I hosted a outlet. I would absolutely revolutionize you. For $12-$15, you would get a gigantic breakfast sandwich that would keep you going for days. John Drake says, this slow strangling only works if people are fed, clothed, and sheltered. If things go bad, whites could push back. The cell is too nice just now to rebel. Yeah. I'm not a man of rebellion. I agree with Curtis Yarvin. Americans are on a program of simply just tolerating the absolute domination of their world. So we have Nate Doug Revolution sending a big super chat. Thank you so much.
English brekkie, overrated or top tier breakfast?
No, I am a big fan of English breakfast. Now, I don't call it English breakfast, but what they call proper English breakfast, which is classically eggs, beans, black pudding, mushrooms, and potatoes. So that's the proper English breakfast. It is an absolutely delicious breakfast. In fact, I currently have black pudding defreezing on my table because I plan to I'm not going to eat a complete proper English breakfast, but I do plan to eat some black pudding with eggs. It's absolutely delicious. Now, in white people food, I have covered a much broader range. So I called it proper white breakfast. And it's among the choices is the route of the English breakfast, of course. There's the choice of black pudding. But I laid out a wider array. Because from Quebec culture, Quebec brunch culture, in places like Cora and Tutti Frutti, those are places where you can get high-level breakfast stuff. In Quebec culture, there is a wider array of these types of breakfast platters. And this is what I decided to present it in White People Food, where beans, but croutons, ham, sausages, bacon, various types of potatoes, eggs of all kind. There is much more things that you can choose, and the beans, of course. But I know that the English breakfast is delicious. But I typically don't go straight English breakfast. I don't care that much about the mushrooms. I care about bacon, ham, crouton, Montreal smoked meat. That's delicious in a breakfast. Let me tell you, at Cora, Montreal smoked meat is quite delicious. Red Pill Media says Iran has rejected ceasefire negotiations and is ready for war. Matt Bell says, take your black pudding with fried tomato, a per angelic wedding of flavors, or even stewed tin tomatoes. Okay. You know, in my appreciation of food, I love blood sausage, but I love it in the Quebecois way. Now what I'm stuck with is the Scottish way, unfortunately. So the difference is that the Quebecois has more onions and milk in the blood sausage. So it's a much more liquidy structure. It comes in crumbles and it's delicious and soft and creamy. When I eat the Scottish version black pudding, the problem is it's much drier and it is also filled with oats. So that's all I can get in Alberta. I cannot find an actual Quebecois-style blood sausage, but I can easily find the Scottish black pudding. So I'm not surprised that you guys want to put tomatoes in it, because it's way too dry. It's way too dry. My conception of a good blood sausage is extremely liquidy milk added with onion that makes the whole thing melty. Chris Asler says, also, what's your view on Yarvin intellectual political influence, Thomas Carlyle? I don't know about Thomas Carlyle. Yarvin, I'm always worried. I think 50% of the time I agree with him. Other times when he presents situations like the Dark Elves and appeals to trusting the Dark Elves, I'm off this train. ELDR says the black pudding needs to be fried with a crisp layer and with lots of black pepper and an over easy yolk. All right, you guys are bombarding me. Doubting Thomas says, it seems there is a huge possibility space of how braised meats and foods can be prepared than how it's done in modern cuisine, from when the searing takes place to the broth slash wine. Absolutely. Those are the kinds of details that I've been exploring in White People Food. You know, what kind of treatment can you give to your meat before getting into the cooking? what's the effect of a griddle versus a flat surface? How does the fat circulate around the food to make a more crispy effect on the bottom? All of these things I've been exploring. And I can't say that I will exhaustively describe to you the ways in which meat can be cooked, but certainly I have found some facts to share from my own research. So Iran has rejected ceasefire negotiations and is ready for a war. Hard to tell whether that's true, but Iran is currently getting bombarded as we speak. Donald Trump says there will be no deal with Iran except unconditional surrender. After that, and the selection of a great and acceptable leader, we and many of our wonderful and very brave allies and partners will work tirelessly to bring Iran back from the brink of destruction, making it economically bigger, better, and stronger than ever before. Iran will have a great future. Make Iran great again. Well, I don't know that that will happen. You know, come back to me in a month. Come back to me in 2 months. I don't know. I don't know if that will happen. It's possible. I mean, they've been replacing power in Syria by a puppet. And it worked to the extent that he's still in power and he's collaborative with Israel. So it's technically possible. But Iran is not just Iran. It's not just we're going to name a leader and he's going to be pro-American. Iran is a set of interests, and it's mostly, first and foremost, a provider of oil to China. I don't know that you can just decide we're going to put a leader on top of this and there won't be any social trouble as a result and everything will work. It's very different here. Matt Bell says, Darwin would want you to eat your black pudding with tomatoes. Listen to the masters. Is that something that Darwin ever said? I'm not aware of this. Hassan Piker confirms that there will be an upcoming stream with California Governor Gavin Newsom. Oh, God. This will be interesting, but I mean interesting. It's going to be two leftists speaking to each other. But it's interesting, the path of Gavin Newsom. He's definitely setting up for being a kind of more open candidate of the Democrats, more interfacing with the real world. The Democrats have been disconnected from internet culture. You know, Biden. It's Biden wasn't in internet culture at all. So I think that Gavin Newsom is making a fray here to frame himself as the only choice that the Democrats will have that can win. End of the line, Joel says, California has mandated that operating systems have to harvest your age info to an external web API in 2027. Oh yeah, that's always sad. The loss of control of our devices. That is a big trend. Very worrying.
Starting to believe that X is the problem, because the reason that people are getting tricked and misled by this stuff, it's because they're on Twitter. That's where they get their information and that's where they get their opinions. And Twitter has become just like, it is a new form of the Matrix. It's like another Matrix reality where you go into it and all you are fed is pro-Trump propaganda. That's why Elon bought it, I think. And that is why it exists in its current form. I think the algorithm is manipulated for this. I think the policies are, I don't know how you would say this, but the way that the policies are enforced with their discretion, it seems to be to uphold this, to make Twitter basically a GOP propaganda farm. It's just like a slot farm. And they create the world of the dream and they bring you into it. And then they fill your head with this Republican propaganda. They say the war in Iran is really about China and all this other stuff. And same thing during the election. And people just, they weren't paying attention. So
I absolutely agree. It seems that Twitter has been deployed as a second level type of PSYOP absolute spam, lies, and even if you don't get to the lies, it's the whole Trump cheerleading that is so disappointing. It's like, hey, guys, Trump got elected on a platform in 2016, which was the whole idea of not getting us into forever wars. And we had understood by this not getting us into wars in general. And yet he's waging war, and he's doing so in a way that is absolutely not in the interest of Americans. The White House is adding on to the cheerleading. Operation Epic Fury. Destroy Iran's missile arsenal. Destroy their navy. Ensure they never get a nuclear weapon. Locked in. It's like those are literally tweets from the most powerful institution in the world, the White House, as they bombard a nation. For what? For not allowing them to cash in on their oil sales? The share of Canadians expressing confidence in both the police and the court system fell in 2024. Fewer than half said they trusted the courts to deliver justice. Cases are taking longer to resolve. More of them are getting withdrawn. And a growing share of the accused are on remand awaiting trial. Because the law is applied differently depending on your race. Absolutely. In Canada, it's been officialized. You can reduce the sentence of someone for their race. Unless they're white, then you can't. So basically, it's open season for non-white criminality. It is literally punished less in Canada. It has passed review at courts of appeal levels. That is the state of Canada. So no one trusts the judiciary anymore. Absolutely fake. They are supposedly operating on the equality of rights principles. But equality of rights goes only one way, and it's when it's against white people. We are seeing some exchanges around Iran. We are seeing strikes in Iran by the US and Israel right now. And we are also seeing some boats being destroyed by Iran. Here's a boat that was struck a few hours ago. So Iran is showing that it still has some degree of capacity for striking the boats of the Strait of Hormuz region. The Islamic regime in Iran. Oh, so that's the kind of bullshit propaganda that is coming exactly at the right moment. The Islamic regime in Iran paid a 47-year-old Pakistani national to assassinate President Trump in 2024. It's okay, this happened 2 years ago, and now it's coming out today. And today we're starting to talk about how, oh, well, this was coming from Iran. And the problem is, we have this guy, he's in a trial, so it looks like he probably got caught by some network of entrapment, maybe some FBI people that kind of push him in this direction. So he's in the trial, and he says, oh yeah, I can tell you guys what led me to want to kill Trump. It was a guy I met. And look at the evidence he has for... This comes from Iran.
Prosecutors accuse him of plotting to assassinate American political leaders, including President Trump. He says Iran was behind it all. Alexis McAdams is outside the Brooklyn Federal Courthouse in New York City. Alexis.
Hi, Harris. Yeah, an interesting case that really not a lot of viewers.
This is all propaganda to make you feel like the war is justified. Fox News is just delivering the propaganda that you need at the right time, because they could have talked about this a year ago. But no, they're talking about it right now because they want to make the case that, oh, well, we just replied. Iran tried to kill our president. And look at the evidence that it's Iran that did this.
Knew about when it happened in 2024 because President Trump was out on the campaign trail and there was so much going on and so many other threats. But that's when police...
Evidence incoming.
They say Asif Merchant came here from Pakistan because he says Iranian leadership told him to, said hunt down President Trump, hire a couple of guys that can take him out at a political rally. So
okay, guys, there are people who are deluded. And this guy just saying the leadership, the Iranian leadership, it's phrased in a way that responds so much to the current demand that I don't believe it. I believe this is a made-up story. Maybe this guy had terroristic intents, or maybe he had predispositions. I don't believe that the Iranian leadership sent this guy to America.
So take a look here on your screen. This is who we're talking.
Now, look, that's the evidence. So... The guy in his trial, I mean, you can't make this shit up. The guy in his trial drew a square on a sheet. And he said, yes, that right here. I was in a room where there was a party or something, and there was some kind of stage. And I was right here. And the Iranian leadership came to send me to kill Trump. Okay. Now, just per random, we just struck the Iranian leadership. Just per random, Trump is looking for a reason to hate the Iranian leadership. Just per random, his phrasing is exactly the one that Trump would use. Iran tried to kill me. Trump has been saying this for years. And it was in preparation for this war. Now, what this guy is doing from jail, he's trying to get some attention to himself by saying what he knows people want to hear, what he knows Trump needs to hear. Maybe he's even hoping for a pardon. He's saying the right things to justify the Iranian strikes.
Talking about, he's sitting there inside of that Brooklyn federal courthouse right now as those closing arguments are underway. 47 years old, he's facing federal terrorism charges and could spend the rest of his life behind bars. Merchant testified, Harris.
It's like, at this point, I'm feeling uncomfortable that they kept this notepad for so long on the screen.
His own federal trial, and he explained this, making this drawing again that he said Iranian leaders gave him back in 2024. Really doesn't look like there's much to it. It looks like, you know, like a kid drew it or something.
They're ashamed that they don't have more evidence. It's like, I know it doesn't look like much, but it is the story that he was telling that's associated with this notepad that provides the evidence. Yeah, I think you're just stuck with a deluded guy who perhaps was manipulated by federal agents, and now he's just yapping whatever he thinks people want to hear, so that perhaps he has a hope of getting a pardon. Absolute bullshit. There's no evidence of an organized Iranian attempt from the leadership to kill Trump. Now, of course, he's Pakistani, so that tells you something. Okay, he was in the branch of Islam that is allied to Iran, certainly, and perhaps he had his own terroristic tendencies. But you're not going to make me believe, based on a notepad drawing. First, how do you even know that the people who contacted you were Iranian leadership? You know, you met them in a crowd at a spectacle or something? That could be Mossad. That could be anyone. You don't have a way to verify those were directly speaking from Khamenei. Bullshit. Nintendo is suing the US government So it's in relation to the Trump. It's in relation to the Trump tariffs. So they are saying Trump has collected $200 billion in tariffs on imports. He doesn't have the right to do so. I do believe that courts have been concluding that he didn't have the right to do so. And so they are asking for their money back. Meanwhile, US and Israel are continuing the bombardment in Tehran. So here we can see some targets in the city, and it appears that the airport has been bombarded for destruction of capacity to fly. All right, so that's the current situation. The exchanges are continuing, and it's mostly airstrike on the side of US, Israel. And for Iran, it's been mostly striking boats today. So this explosion appears to be around the airport. All right, so that's the current situation. We have another angle on similar explosions. Okay. Sweden says that Israel and the US violated international law by attacking Iran. Absolutely correct. No doubt. It's a unjustified attack and initiative by force for no reason and no provocation. Candace Owens has called the U.S. military personnel to abandon their post, resulting in praise from working Americans on social media. Do not join or remain in the United States military. Trump has betrayed America, warned Owens. I agree with her reading. At some point, you have to ask yourself, you know, America has this whole culture of honoring the military, but the military of America has been shown again and again to be subject to foreign subversion. And at this point, you can't possibly be joining the military without knowing this, without knowing that you will be a tool for death, to seed death around the world for interests that aren't American. So I don't appeal to soldiers to anything, but that's what Candace is doing. But I agree. At some point you have to ask yourself, do I want to be consistent with my own morals? Because people have this suspension of morals when it comes to army. It's like, no, you're killing people. You're just killing people. You're just making yourself a tool of violence. For extremely evil people. Kayfabe says, my son just joined the army infantry. It's natural for men to fight. I mean, if he can live with that, it's not that I care. It's going to be him or it's going to be another one. Personally, I couldn't live first with the whole chain of command type of structure of the army. I'm not a man who responds well to authority. And on top of it, I couldn't live morally with the idea that I will have to follow orders that I may know in my heart are immoral. I just can't do it. But that led me where I am. I am a principled man. Burger Fan says, like it or not, from a geopolitical perspective, Israel and the Sunnis are an extension of the American empire and its energy interest in the Middle East. Oh, absolutely. But there's the problem where you start analyzing the asymmetry of what is an extension. Who's an outpost of who? Because if Israel was an extension of the U.S., seeing U.S. as the dominant power, they wouldn't spend their whole lives and their billions of dollars trying to influence American politics. If it was just our natural outpost and it was a tool for us to have some kind of Middle Eastern port of control, a safe harbor for Western forces in the Middle East, then they wouldn't have to subvert our politics. So you have to ask yourself, who is controlling who? Who is trying to influence the other? I don't see American billionaires desperately trying to veer Israel internal policies away toward American interests. What I see is Israeli billionaires subverting America. Now, so the relation you say is true, but be careful. Don't have the illusion that it's one way and it's America controls Israel. It's the contrary. It's the contrary. If that control was true, if Israel was truly just an outpost from which we benefit, they wouldn't need to constantly lobby us. Matt Bell sends a super chat. He says, here's $10 English pounds for a great English breakfast. What better way to celebrate Ramadan? Yeah, I mean, I'll be eating an English breakfast, basically. I have beans. I have the black pudding that is defreezing. I have eggs. Everything from local farms, local farm eggs, locally produced Scottish butchery, black pudding. Tomorrow morning will be a great morning. It's going to be glorious. Trump on gas prices. If they rise, they rise. Oh, yeah. Trump was a Trojan horse. It's very clever what's been done by anti-Iran interests. They have decided to buy out Trump, and Trump had built a brand that was deceptive enough to the American public that he could ride on the assumption that he was against war, that he was against forever wars, against intervention in the Middle East. But at the same time, people like me and Nick Fuentes, we had seen those signs that the second Trump would be very different from the first. First, Trump already betrayed America in his first term because his leadership as a president was already very distant from the way he campaigned. But we have seen the second and even worse betrayal coming, because it was clear that he was surrounding himself with neocons and people who truly are bloodthirsty toward an Iran invasion. And they're in panic because they think that Trump might be their last chance. They see the doors closing with a new generation of youth rising in America that is anti-war. They see that maybe with a traditional conservative at the head of the Republican Party, we can't ever win again. So they see that it's going to be a big Democrat future, and the Democrats have their pro-Palestinian anti-war stances and base. They won't be able to be doing a full invasion of Iran. So I believe that the panic and the pressing, the reason they are so urgently trying to start this now is because they want 2 years to be able to put us in a way that we're stuck in there. So once you are stuck in there, you can bind the future presidents. The future presidents will not want to look like they're fully withdrawing. So you can bind the future presidential actions, even if they're a Democrat, even if they're anti-war. They would continue the war. So So I believe that's what is happening right now. We are being set for a forever war, despite what everything that Trump told us. What else do we have? Trump has been announcing an increase of manufacturing production of weapons. We just concluded a very good meeting with the largest U.S. defense manufacturing, where we discussed production and schedules. They have agreed to quadruple production of the exquisite class weaponry, in that we want to reach as rapidly as possible the highest level of quantity. Expansion began 3 months prior to the meeting, and plants and production of many of these weapons are already underway. We have virtually an unlimited supply of medium and upper medium grade munitions, which we are using as an example in Iran and recently used in Venezuela. Regardless, however, we have also increased orders at these levels. The companies represented were the CEOs of BAE, Lockheed Martin. I mean, it's the same player. It's the same thing that happened in the 90s. We're back to it. There's no difference. The same lies, the same effects on the market, the same party, the same neocons, the same intellectual academic neocon influences. There's literally a continuum. Everything is the same, and Trump is giving signs here. Why does he need more weapons? It's because this will be extended. He wants to extend this conflict for an indefinite amount of time. We have also strikes by Israel onto Lebanon. So Israel using the opportunity, and people are speculating. There were Cyprus strikes. Was it Israel striking Cyprus? Doesn't sound like Cyprus would be targeted by Iran. So it seems that there is a hidden player, and you would think that looks very much like Israel. There is a hidden player striking people in other regions like Cyprus, Lebanon. I mean, Lebanon, we know it's Israeli strike. I'm wondering to what extent there is just a will for total chaos by Israel to just use the disruption and the attention being turned toward Trump and America to do his own biddings and his own little sneaky attacks. Kim.com says, please do an extremely vulgar roast of Elon Musk, no holds barred. Yeah, people are asking Grok to do a roast, and it's pretty good. Grok says, Elon Musk, you pretentious bald fuck with a micro penis and God complex. You blew $44 billion on X to stroke your fragile ego after endless ratioings. Your Teslas are flaming death traps. SpaceX rockets are pricey fireworks. Neuralink fries brains. And your Mars fantasy is cult bait. It's fun to see Grok because people got Grok to say pretty edgy stuff today. They got Grok to roast certain people, and it was fantastic to see. So that is it for tonight, Buzz. Much love, and thank you for being with me. I will be going for the weekend. I'll be taking time this weekend to concentrate on writing White People Food. I am still determined to get this book out so that you can buy it well in advance for next Christmas. Much love, sleep well, and see you Monday.